the great loved ones we've lost. Fill up my cup, yeah. Gonna pour out some liquor and call on the great ones for them to be with us. We got the spirit so high. It's a celebration.
One love, shalom, Hotep, and Harambe, my family. Welcome to Life After Christianity 101. This is your girl, Timothy Azariah, affectionately known to all my friends, family, and my foes as Empress T. And I am coming to you once again on a fine, beautiful Saturday. Of course, I'm out here in Phoenix, Arizona, and not to be rubbing it into y'all's face, because you're about to get some heat in a little bit, you know, other parts of the country, like New York, Illinois, you know, different places like that. You will be getting some heat shortly, but in the meantime, between time, if you can afford to, come on down to Phoenix and grab decent heat right now because the sun is up and shining. And not the S-O-N, but the S-U-N, right? Up and shining and bright and nourishing his, her children. Okay. So those of you who are new to the show, I want to welcome you and thank you for joining me. Thank you for joining me. Those of you who are in my group, Life After Christianity 101, I thank you for joining me as well. And as those of you who are new, who are not in the group and you want to be, let me tell you how to reach our group on Facebook. We're under Life After Christianity 101. It is a private group, so not that we're trying to hide anything, but we have to actually try to go through and weed out those who are not there for any kind of enlightenment or to learn anything new. They're actually coming in there to try to preach to us the truth about themselves or knowing that there is something outside of Christianity, and they leave this earth not really knowing what Christianity is all about, and not knowing that they have spent, you know, for a lot of people, all of their lives being locked up into a religion that actually did not give them an opportunity to think for themselves, did not give them an opportunity to move forward and knowing yourself and understanding yourself. And so I feel good that I'm able to be on both sides of the track. You know, I was in it for a long time, and now I'm out of it, and I hope I have as much experience being out of Christianity as I had when I was in Christianity, and I hope that you all do too. You know, like I say, I come here every week, you know, to take time out of my busy schedule, because trust me when I tell you, the girl is busy. I'm super busy over here with the businesses that I run. However, this is very important to me to be able to talk to you, family, about, talk about this period. Talk about, you know, what you're going through, what I've been going through as far as being in this bondage called Christianity. So with that being said, I'm glad that you all have joined me here today, and I'm glad that you are just as excited as I am about getting this show on the road, right? And so we do have a very interesting topic for you tonight, as I tell you. Don't I tell you that every week? And if you've been in Christianity as long as I have, then you have to have some type of experience that you can share with other people, and people can relate to that. So that's why I go through my quick bio every week to let you know who you're listening to. So with that being said, let me tell you that I am a recovering Christian who is 36 months clean, now 37 months because we're in January. Actually, we're in February, so almost 38 months clean, you know. After 45 years of indoctrination, not just indoctrination from church, but indoctrination in public schools and, you know, wherever else have you, wherever people could inject their ideology in me, you know, I've had lots of years of going through that, and I know you probably have too. I do have a celebration date of my sobriety from Christianity, and that is December 27th. That is the day that my children and I, we walked away from church, and we said good riddance, and we don't want to see you no more. I've actually have not stepped foot inside of a church since December 27th, 2012. Wait, 2011, 12, 13, 14. Oh, shoot, 12. See, I lose the count of the year, but I know it's been 36 months for me, okay? But I have not been in the church since then, I should say, put it like that. And so will I ever step foot inside of a church again? Probably, you know, somebody probably is going to want me to come in and talk to the people, you know, about the stuff that I'm teaching. And we do have some pastors, very few, who actually call themselves, now that you are getting a better understanding of this so-called God, you know, you're finding out that those attributes actually are within you. You are that very God that you're looking for. Now, this is a live calling show, so I'm going to give you the number now and open up the phone lines a little bit later if I don't forget again. And so that number is 646 416-7572. That's 416-716-7572. Don't forget, you do have to press number 1 in order for me to know that you want to talk. Okay? Now, let me give you the website. See, I got so much going on right now that I want to bring to you, and I only have 2 hours to do it, which I've already spent 20 minutes talking. So our website, lifeafterchristianity.net, is our official website for this show. If you want to catch any of our archives, I know, because I get a lot of complaints from people who are looking for archives and they go on Blog Talk and they can't find them because Blog Talk, even though they're upgrading their system, they have some, for some reason, haven't actually upgraded the navigation system as far as you're being able to locate certain shows. And also, please know that a lot of our shows are kind of mixed up because we do more than one show on Dynasty. We got several shows that are running. So when you go to our, and that was actually my other phone. Somebody sent me a text. Oh, they said they can't. Okay. Oh, they said they can't get in. Oh, okay. Okay. Let me turn it down so that you all can hear me. Okay, so anyway, that's that. Now let's talk about, you know, what we've been dealing with for the last 2 weeks. I want to say that I really do appreciate all of you who have been giving me feedback about the shows because, to be honest with you, I really went in doing these shows regarding energy blindly. I say that because I didn't know how you all would react to learning about energy, you know. I didn't know that I was, you know, I actually was following the directions of my ancestors. And, you know, in my meditation, it just came to me that I need to talk about energy. So I'm just so happy that you all are receiving it well and that you all, it's helping you. I've had people contact me. You know, I had one sister even sent me a voicemail, you know, telling me, you know, how this is really helping her. And so I do appreciate you all giving me feedback, whether it's helping or hurting. I do like to know from you, what is it doing for you? Because it's, listening to my own shows, they really empower me, especially when dealing with energy and vibrations and things like that. Because I told you before, that's my favorite subject to talk about. But it really inspires me. It causes me to vibrate at a higher level when I hear them. And so I'm just thankful that it's helping you all out there as well as it helping me. Because, you know, I always tell you that if you don't know about energy and how it works, then you haven't really learned yourself yet. I want to say Proverbs that tells you, let me get it right now because it just kind of slipped my mind. Thank you. The answers that helped me. Lean not unto your own understanding. Okay. So in other words, you're not supposed to have any kind of understanding of yourself or what you think or what you do. You have to lean on the understanding of this God or of this Jesus, not of yourself. What kind of teaching is that for you not to know yourself? And I'm going to tell you, family, ever since I've been out of Christianity, I have been discovering who Makia is. And it is a journey. It's a trip. It's a ride that I would wish on everybody to be able to experience and to be able to take. You know, unfortunately, when you're on this trip or this ride or this journey, you have other people on the outside who are still stuck in bondage of Christianity who want to come at you and want to try to degrade you for your belief system or for your non-belief system, I should say. They want to degrade you and put you under the bus and all of this different kinds of things because they really want you to come back and believe like they believe. It's almost like Christians don't want to believe on their own. It's like, you know, I almost named this show Misery Loves Company. I really did. Misery does love company, and the misery that I'm talking about is misery that comes from Christianity, from Christians, because they don't want to be in it by themselves. They want to bring other people into their misery, into a place where they're not even happy with themselves. As a matter of fact, let's do that show now. That is made up of energy. Energy that slows down becomes hard like a mass. Okay, energy that speeds up really, really fast, you know, you really can't see it. It's something like air, like wind, okay? So we are made of energy. We are energy beings. beings who are having an experience in the earth realm. We're energy beings who are having our earthly experience. Can I say it like that? We're energy beings who are having an earthly experience. We are not earthly beings who are having an energy or spiritual experience. A lot of people have that backwards. A lot of people think that we are human beings having a spiritual experience. No. No, boo-boo. You are the spirit. You are the spiritual being. You are here having an earthly experience. And guess what? When you're done with this earthly experience, you are still going to continue to be an energy being. Why? Because energy does not die. Energy dissipates and appears somewhere else. And if that be the case, and if you are energy, as I keep telling you that scientists say that you are, meditation tells me that we are, life experience gives us the energy field. That's what that is, controlling your energy field. And so that's what we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, about how to clean your energy field, how to control your energy field, how to get rid of people out of your energy field who are energy vampires, or if you have those that you have to keep around, a.k.a. your children or your spouse, then, you know, you have to know how to be able to manage them within your energy field, because if you're not careful, they will suck your energy field dry, so to speak. You know, they can never suck the whole thing away from you unless they kill you physically, which, again, it'll just leave the body and go somewhere else. But they can actually latch onto your energy field, and they can begin to suck, and you feel like, you know, I feel drained. I feel, you know, I feel depressed. I feel useless at times. All of these are signs that your energy level is very low, okay? You can actually think of your energy level, like I mentioned, my father and his, when he was here, he was a diabetic. You can actually think about a diabetic being, okay? You know, when their blood is low or high, depending on if they got high blood pressure, low blood pressure, they have to do certain things to either bring it up or bring it back down. You know, as my father had lots of medicine that he took when he was here, but there was two main medicines that I found very interesting, and I was actually kind of upset with him how he manipulated these medicines. One of the medicines that he had, because I think he had high blood pressure, one of the medicines that he took was to down real quickly if, you know, if it got too high on him. But my father used to manipulate these drugs, and what he would do is, like, if he had somewhere to go, he would take the second medication that was designed to bring him down quickly, he would take that instead, even though he didn't need it at the time. He would take it, and to him, that would help him to come down and maintain a certain level. But at the end, it really, you know, damaged him and didn't help him doing that, manipulating that. And so to me, it seemed like that's what we do with our energy field. If we don't find a way to maintain our energy field or keep it steady, it can go up and down. And you know, if it goes down too low, it can become very detrimental to you. You'll feel depressed. You know, some people even kill themselves because their energy level is so low that they don't even understand that's what it is. And so they think it's depression or their emotions are out of whack, and they do crazy things to themselves. You know, they're trying to say that Bobby Christina, you know, try to commit suicide. I don't know how true that is, but if that is the case, you know, I would speculate, if that is the case, that maybe she, you know, been going through, you know, since the death of her mother, maybe something is going on with her that has her energy field depleted, you know, because, you know, losing your God, if you don't know how to manage that emotion, it will start to deplete you. My God is still here, so I have never lost a God like that, but I've lost my co-creator, which is my father. And so I kind of understand when your energy level is, you know, goes low, because that your creator is not no longer here. It's not. It was the slavery of our spirit being. Y'all hear me, family? It was a bondage of our spiritual beings. I'm going to say it again. It was not the bondage. usage of our people's bodies, it was not the bondage of our people's minds, so to speak. It was the bondage of our people's spiritual being or their energy being. Our energy beings is what was enslaved that has caused the most issues and problems that we still experience today. It took the melanin deficient being, okay, melanin rich beings, okay? So we're walking around here, we're very cocky as if we are free from this bondage. And the truth of the matter is we are semi-liberated, if I can use that word. We're semi-liberated from physical slavery or bondage, but we are in energy or spiritual bondage more than ever. We really are. We don't fully understand the damage that religion has done on our energy being. We don't understand it. We have left Christianity. We talk down to the Christians who are still stuck there. We're going through a weird time coming out of Christianity. But even though we're doing that, we still don't have an understanding of the damage that it has had on our own personal energy being. We have been damaged, family. We have been mentally damaged. We have been physically damaged. Our energy field has been evaded, and listen, believe in Jesus. You can say, I don't believe in God. All of that stuff, that's wonderful. But you still in bondage because you do not understand that the very thing that enslaved you in the first place was not physical. Got it? It was not physical. Your energy being was enslaved, okay? And your energy being was enslaved because of generational enslavement, which means your great-great-grandmama's energy being was enslaved, which in turn made your great-great-grandma's energy being enslaved, which in turn made your great-grandma's energy being enslaved, which in turn made your grandma and made your mama and made your daddy. And now here you are. You understand? So you have to have an understanding of energy, which that's what you are, and you have to understand how it operates and what it does and how you need to move certain energies in your life, how you need, and I use the word manipulate because I know that's a negative word, you know. You come from your mama, and your mama is your God because she has all the characteristics of a so-called God, then you too yourself is a God, okay? But you have been dumbed down as children to not operate as you were operating as an energy being when you first came here into this earth realm, in the form or encased in your body or in your vehicle that you have now called a body, okay? If the energy being is not boggled down with tools of destruction designed to suppress and oppress the being, it will function at an oppressive state. Y'all hear me? If your energy being, when it comes here, if it's not boggled down with certain tools, you know, and we're going to get to those tools. But if it's not bogged down with certain tools, if it's not suppressed, if your energy being is not oppressed or suppressed or damaged or tricked or lied to or all these different things that your energy being is not used to, it will function at a very impressive state. But energy being has been in bondage for so long, and for many of you, it still is in bondage, but you don't know that. The spirit being is, or the energy being slash spirit being, is the most important part of you. You think it's your brain. You think it's your mind. You know, mind is a terrible thing to waste. Are you serious? Mind is a terrible thing to waste? I don't even use that phrase because my mind is not terrible. However, that is not the most important part of you. Your mind is so that your mind is actually, I should say, your mind is it's not actually a physical thing. It's like a it's a form of energy too, I guess you could say, because your brain is the physical part of you, but your mind is your mind is outside of the brain. That's another whole teaching. We have to do that one day. Oh my! Maybe I'll get my sister Dr. Yaffa to come on and help me with that one there. Anyway, at first, the melanin deficient person didn't know it actually existed, you know. But they, when they first encountered the melanin rich people, they was like, "Wow, it's something different about them. Something very awesome and amazing about them." They were like, I got that from my sister because she always says she's awesome and amazing. So I just love to say that too. So I took that off of shouting one love to Sister Renee because I stole that from you. But yes, that when they encounter our people, they were like, our people are awesome and amazing. Not only are their skin nice and lustrous and dark and the sun, you know, works good with their skin, there's something else about them. And they tried to figure it out. And they were trying to figure out what it was, and they didn't know at first what it was. A melanin deficient being saw that the melanin being was the melanin rich being was stronger, bigger, and built for survival in the sun, and they were amazed by that. Again, I didn't get this from no book. This is stuff that came from me through my meditation. Okay, now he thought the melanin deficient being thought that chaining up or beating the rich beings down. In other words, the so-called pink folks found out that beating down the so-called black folks was not really breaking them down. As a matter of fact, in some instances, it was making them stronger because they were getting so tired of getting their ass whooped, they would get together and start planning and plotting what we can do to revolt. We need to get us out of here. We need to gather ourselves together. We need to, you know, and I told you, I think, last week how the melanin deficient beings, they would be in the house and sleeping with their rifle and, or, you know, just sleeping with one eye open, afraid that the melanin rich beings would come in the window and kill them and kill their children in retaliation. So they knew that locking them up and things like that was not enough. They knew they couldn't break them like that. They would hear them singing in the fields, moaning in harmony, you know, using certain spiritual tools that they had learned from their foreparents to cope with their new unfavored conditions. You know, tools such as meditation, songs, dance, different types of tools that the melanin-rich beings were using to get through their heartache and their pain of being enslaved. Do you all not know that melanin controls the vibrational levels? Did y'all know that? Melanin, we got to do a show on melanin. I don't even have time today. But melanin, we control the vibration of the earth. Why? Because we're supposed to be in tune with the earth. We're in tune with the earth, supposed to be in tune with the animals. I heard somebody, you know, I hear this all the time. People say, they say we come from apes and monkeys and all this stuff. I don't come from no animal. I am not an animal. You know what? But you rather say you don't come from an animal, but you would run and say that the deficient, melanin deficient people are your children, but you don't want to associate yourself with any animals. When you, once upon a time, you were in tune or in sync with animals, you were able to communicate with animals once upon a time before the melanin deficient people came along. It's crazy. But, again, we need to do a show. You want to, but there's something about it because people are trying their best to tap into it. They're stealing it from us. They're tapping into it, and they're using it for all types of things. There's got to be something to this melanin situation, and you all are carrying it. You are carrying it, and you don't even realize that you're walking around with gold, and you don't even realize that you are gold. That's the only way I can describe it to you. You're walking around with this magic gold within you, and you don't even know it, and you're feeling low about yourself, and your energy levels feel low because you don't even understand that you have the ability to change the vibrations of the earth, change the energy fields in the earth. Do you all not know, and I know I'm going way off, but as I'm telling this to you, it's starting to flow with me. I need to bring this to you. But do you all not know how much of this planet is actually controlled by the so-called black energy, if I can say it like that, or the so-called people who possess this energy? Do you not know? Look at the music industry. Look at the music industry. The world is influenced by energy or by music. People are controlling the music industry. But in retrospect, actually, if we pull our energy out of the music industry, it will collapse. If we pull our energy out of the churches, family, they will collapse. No matter if we pulled our energy out of all kinds of places, those places would collapse because they need and feed off of the energy of the melanin-rich being, which is you. Okay? Back to my article now. The article is called Nothing is Solid and Everything is Energy. Okay? And this is what it says. Again, I'm reading the article, so these are not my words. You can find this article on collective-evolution.com. And it reads as such. I picked around and grabbed out some of the, it's hot. Talking about vortexes and energy fields and all those stuff, I'm hot right now. So, but anyway, I don't see anybody's hand up. Let me go down the board. Let me see. Okay, I don't see anybody's hand up. Oh, you know, y'all been quiet the last week or two. What's going on? Y'all don't want to talk to me? Y'all don't want to speak to the Empress? That's all right. I'll continue to talk because I can run my mouth very well. Now, I'm thinking about when I was putting this show together, I was thinking about when I was a young mother. I was thinking about before I became a young mother. At the time, my boyfriend and I, we had got a house together and we were living together. He was working and I wasn't working. And so I would stay at home, and while he was at work, I would play video games. I used to love to play video games a lot in my spare time. And even when the children came, because I actually had a stepchild that he brought into the relationship. And when I put him down for his nap or whatever, there would be spare time for me to play my little video game. So one of those games that I really fell in love with back then was called Castlevania. I don't even know if the game is still out today. I didn't really look that far into it, but I know that was my favorite game. And this game actually came out in about 1986. And I actually had my first child in 1989. So I was playing games before he got here, and I had my stepchild at the time. One of the tools that is used in this game that Simon uses is called a knife. Now, the knife that they have can reach across the screen. And a little bit later, I'm going to tell you how that actually is can, like, kind of in correlation to what Christians use when it comes to their weapons, because believe it or not, Christians have weapons too, y'all. Y'all should know, because we're always complaining about how they be knocking on our doors and how they be in our groups and on Facebook talking crap, and they have all kinds of ways and tools and tricks and everything they use to try to bring you down and try to get you to believe in their God and their Jesus. So the knife that Simon gets can reach across the screen, okay? Then Simon has what they call the holy water, and this holy water can attack lower enemies and freeze them in the game. The next thing that this character has is called the axe. Now, the axe can attack enemies in the air. He also has a device called the cross, and the cross goes for a time and returns to Simon. Okay, and the stopwatch that he carries, fine or something, waiting, you know, in a long line. I might pop out my phone and play a couple games on there. But for the most part, I don't really play video games like I used to. So I was really surprised, y'all, when this thing about Castlevania popped into my head. And I decided to use that as my part of my reference tonight on the show. Now, Castlevania's character used many tools in order for it to navigate through the levels of the game. And without these tools, the player could not progress to the next level. I see our lives as these characters in Castlevania. See, we try to navigate our way through this earth experience with as less issues as possible. Unfortunately, we don't get that fair opportunity because there is always some gung-ho Christian, some Jesus joker, some Bible thumper who feels that it's their duty to get you indoctrinated before you are released into this world and before you are released out of this world. They feel like this, the words in the Bible, to affect you any kind of way, you have to believe in the Bible. You have to believe in these words, and you have to believe that these words are from the so-called God. So if you don't have that kind of belief system, then no, they're not going to cut you. There's nothing nobody can tell you that what the Bible says is going to hurt you. And so the believer walks away kind of confused, like, well, damn, I don't know what happened, you know. I know this is what I'm supposed to be doing, but it's not affecting anybody. And then they mark it off as, well, she's probably just, you know, she's a devil, her daddy's a devil, and she's just always gone, and she can't hear anything I'm saying, you know, so whatever. So that's the nice. Now, the holy water that is, I talked about, that is part of the game, Castlevania, this character Simon carries this holy water that can attack Lord enemies and freeze them in the game, okay? Now, of course, we hear of and have used holy water. Holy water is mainly used by the Catholics, but I know I've seen holy water being used in the Baptist churches too, non-denominational churches. You know, people are on the TV set selling holy water to you, or you send them a donation, they'll send you a bottle of holy water or whatever. Holy oils and different things like that. But these holy waters and holy oils are used as a buffer, if you will, to transfer energy. In other words, they put the oil or the water on their hands and they hit you with it or lay it across your head as a buffer. And now, because what they're doing is they're transferring energy into your energy field. And so they use it as a buffer, the water and all the other stuff. So it's in the game and it's in real life when it comes to Christianity. Now, the other tool that is used in the game is called the axe. Now, this is our music. You could be singing about anything. When I say that it's spiritual, what I mean is that it has the ability to get into inside someone's energy field, in their mind, in their spirit, and it has the ability to stay there. So have you ever heard something in the car, like you was driving and you heard a song, come on the radio, and it's a song you haven't heard in a long time, and that's my jam. And you listen to this song, and then when you get to where you're going, you know, and you make your rounds, and you come home that night, you find yourself still humming or even singing that same song that you heard earlier. You ever had that experience? I know you have. I think we all had that experience. And so, and that's because music is sending off vibrations, and that vibration was able to vibrate with you. And so, therefore, you know, your vibration is like a memory. It's carrying a memory of that song. And so that's why, you know, it'll stay with you for a while. I find myself sometimes I will hear something and I'll actually have to override what I've heard so I don't continue to sing that song in my head, especially if it's something I don't even like. But it's there because it constantly, I've heard it, and now it has embedded itself into my vibrational level. And so I would say, I would sing another song or play something else or watch a movie or something to try to throw that off. And oh, have you all ever had this experience? You wake up in the morning with music, and some of you bring that back with you when you enter back into your body. Now, I know I just lost a bunch of you because you come out of Christianity and you think that's a spookism stuff, but, you know, if you confused, listen to some of my old shows, and I broke it down a little bit in those shows, but I don't like to get too far up into it because I know people get spooked when they don't have any understanding. Okay, so anyway, so that's what the musical vibration does. That's what music does. And music, and also, remember I just told you that you have memories of certain songs and stuff. I know for a fact that music carries a certain energy or a spirit, because you can hear some music that you haven't heard, or maybe you heard it back when you was a child, and that particular song would trigger something in you to remind you of what happened, what was going on in your life at that time that that song was playing. Does that make sense to y'all, family? Okay, so it triggers something. So you can hear, let's say if you heard a song from, let's do Earth, Wind & Fire again. You heard a certain song, Earth, Wind & Fire, and your mama used to play that song when you was coming up, and you know, and she was cleaning her house, and you could smell the pine saw. And you, well, if you hadn't heard it for a while, and you hear it for the first time in a long time, your mind will immediately take you back to your mother's house, and especially if your mother's no longer here, or whoever. This works for anything. I'm just using that for an example. But your mind will quickly take you back there, and you will start remembering your mother cleaning the house and playing Earth, Wind, and Fire, and you will start smelling the pine saw or the lemon or whatever she's using. You will start reliving those moments because now the memories have been awakened in you through that music, through that song. You know, music can even take you back and make you think of your old ex. Oh, this was that song when we were together. You know, and you'll start thinking about that person and start thinking about what y'all was doing when this song was being played, especially if they play songs like I've Brothers and things like that. You know, that would take you way back, and you'll start thinking about some really serious situations and stuff that you probably would have never, ever, ever thought about before had there was no music. Okay? Now, we got the music out the way. Now, the next thing I wanted to talk about is food, okay? Because food food carries vibrations too. Food actually carries energy, okay? Let's say that. Food carries energy, okay? And see, our people used to eat food from the earth. We used to.
Dynasty Radio, 1380.